5, 4, 3, 2, spoiler alert, 1. Bob Ross is no longer with us.
This is episode 1, and on today's podcast, we'll be discussing the Netflix documentary, Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed.
My name is David.
And my name is An.
And this is our podcast,
The Spoiler Regimen. Welcome to The Spoiler Regiment. Today, we were supposed to be finishing up our podcast about Kingdom, Machine of the North. However, we just finished the documentary on Netflix, Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Betrayal,
and Greed.
And
Yeah, we just had to talk about it. We actually did record the episode for Machine of the North.
Yeah, we just need to record a couple more things and polish it up before we, yeah, but we just wanted to talk about Bob Ross because...
Yeah, this documentary just dropped on Netflix, on August 25th?
On Wednesday, so like this, yeah.
August 25th, so it's a pretty brand new documentary.
Yeah.
And for you guys that don't know who Bob Ross is,
refresher of every week.
He's this wonderful painter that had a show on PBS for the longest time, and he had the signature look of a fro, with a beard, right?
Yeah, and he's just
super chill.
Like I would say he's up there with Mr. Rogers, you know, because
yeah,
like PBS kind of figure and very like, what do you say, like just a very good, wholesome person that's very inspiring and very like, you know.
I saw him as this hipster, hipster painter that painted landscapes of beautiful nature in like 30 minutes. Like he did it like every episode, just painted something magnificent.
I mean, like it was something that played in the background, and it's so memorable because, like, for us or for me growing up, like there, PBS was like one of because we didn't have cable sometimes, like for the longest time, you know, and so I think Bob Ross and PBS was like a very educational network that we were always on. And I think Bob Ross was one of those people that, like, for me, like, I don't know, it was kind of boring, but memorable. Like, you can't, like, not remember who Bob Ross is.
Right. So, for me, Bob Ross brought back a lot of memories of just lazy Saturdays or even Sundays with my brother. Mm-hmm. And we'd just be, you know, browsing through TV, and we didn't have cable for sure. We didn't have cable ever growing up. So, yes, PBS was definitely a major part of my TV watching days. And, you know, my brother would turn on Bob Ross, and I was like a kid. I would say like, you know, 10, 11, you know, something like that, 12. And I didn't completely get it, you know, like the appeal of watching a show. You know, my brother was like 10 years older than me, but I didn't hate it, you know?
Yeah.
It was something like just like mesmerizing and relaxing about it. And I remember just a lot of times just watching it with my brother, and me and him would just not even speak to each other throughout the show. We would just be in awe watching the screen, watching him, you know, like create these beautiful works of art, you know? And you're right. Like there was a recent like surge of Bob Ross
merchandise
and like, novelty.
It made me happy, you know?
Yeah, novelty
stuff.
I was like,
oh, you know, he's still relevant, and I'm glad for him, and, you know, his legacy will, like, kind of continue.
Yeah, it was kind of like, when you saw those...
mad about it.
Right, no, when you saw those things, like, you know, like, I remember seeing, well, I bought the air freshener.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing, like, mugs and, like, little action figures. And the Chia pet. And I even saw, like, mints made for Bob Ross. And it brought back good memories.
Yeah.
You know, like, memories of his show and how cool and chill he was and just, like, calming and nice he was. So I never really thought about anything, you know, bad with the merchandise. But with this documentary that we just watched, there was so much that was revealed. And granted, like, I understand that documentaries can be very, like slanted and skewed one way, you know, because it could be biased because one person they're making the documentary.
Yeah.
But just hearing the story and stuff, it seems pretty, like, to me, pretty damning.
And on top of that, remember when you clicked on it, I'm like, no, I don't want to watch it.
Right, you thought it was going to be something.
Because I didn't want his image to be ruined. Like, you know, like, I just didn't want it to be like, oh, you know, like, kind of like a Bill Cosby situation.
Well, the reason that...
Because so many people have been outed for, like, other things. And I was just like, I don't really want to. But then, like, when we start watching it, and then I just, like, I realized, like, you know, he is this wholesome person, like, that we saw on television, and it's pretty genuine to who he was. And I really appreciated that, and, like, that, because, like, it was almost like kind of me watching Mr. Rogers by, played by Tom Hanks, and I'm just like, oh, do I really want to know? Because I don't really know if I want to, like, that image of who Mr. Rogers was. I didn't want that to, like, kind of...
Be
tainted in any way, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like, it's like, it's like a lot of people that have these heroes that are or admire these certain celebrities.
Because they're not,
a lot of them say that sometimes they don't want to meet them because it could ruin that perfect image they have of that person.
Yeah,
you know. Because, you know, in reality, no one's perfect.
Yeah, people are human.
Right.
Human error, human mistakes. Yeah.
So I can completely understand that. But the whole, like, the main reason why I clicked on the documentary was I read the description. Mm-hmm. You know, I read the title. Mm-hmm. It was called Bob Ross, Happy Accidents. And then it said Betrayal and Greed. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
What could that be? And I read the description and I was like, all right, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was really hoping that it wasn't anything that he did, specifically himself, that made him look bad. And thankfully, it really wasn't. Yeah. You know, it was more of him putting his trust in these people that kind of betrayed him.
Yeah.
Over greed. Hence the title.
And I think, like, for me, like, I think, because we watched it, like, last night, Saturday, and I think I was up to, like, 3, just, like, on Twitter and on social media, just to, like, look, like, the hashtags, because, like, for me, I'm actually, as an artist, I'm a metalsmith, and, like, I'm not a jeweler, but I'm, like, a metalsmith, and I like creating metal works and art and things like that, and the idea that like somebody could steal your name from your family, like, that really bothered me, like, and that's why I wanted to kind of talk about it on this podcast, because, like, it's just because, like, we have children, right? And for me to be like, to know that my art and my work is not going to go to them, you know? And that really bothered me.
Well, let's talk about, like, what the major issue was that happened to Bob Ross. And what happened was Bob Ross, you know, he he started.
He's an artist.
He's an artist. He started painting.
He basically
got noticed by this this lady named Annette Kowalski.
Kowalski and her husband. I forget her husband's name.
Bob Kowalski.
Walt.
Yeah. Bob. Right. Walt Kowalski. Yeah. So this married couple noticed, took a, his class or something, right?
Yeah.
His art class.
Yeah.
And really
saw like the potential in him.
Right.
And like Bob Ross and like most artists, they're not necessarily business savvy, you know? And so a lot of artists out there do delegate the business side and administrative side to other people that they supposedly trust. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that most artists do, and especially when they become successful.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's a whole lot of drama that came with that couple, because for some reason they lived all under one roof.
Right. Well,
his
I think
son was involved in the business.
Mm-hmm.
His best friend, I think, was Dana, I forgot his last name.
Mm-hmm.
He, I think it's Jester, he was involved, you know, and so,
the major issue was that he trusted this couple, mm-hmm. with the business side of his art,
yeah,
and got him to, you know, I would say got him to,
I mean,
his show.
The beginning, I mean, not the beginning, obviously they, not before his son or before Dana, but like, they're the one who pushed him towards PBS and
got him the show, right?
Meeting with I think even was it Bill Anders Alexandra, I forget his name, the painter Bill something.
No, I think it wasn't that. Like he met that guy before Annette because
no, he didn't.
Oh,
so they, okay. Because they helped him through all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a good relationship until some point where we don't know for certain if there was an affair, mm-hmm. between Annette and Bob or not. And then, but after that, it seemed like things were getting heated because Bob and his second wife, you know, we're living, because it's weird because they were, Bob Ross, his second wife, were living, and his son with his first wife was also living with Annette
and Walt
Kowalski. And all under one roof, so there's a, you know, and...
Yeah, that, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, but then it's the 80s, supposedly, like that era where peace, love, and
yeah,
not war,
yeah.
You know?
But I think one of the things was that Annette was, like, very...
Possessive
of Bob, and
yeah.
And just really... I think she really wanted to sell... like his ness, right? His,
yeah,
his likeness.
His likeness or whatever.
And create this like product line after him, right?
Yeah.
Of paints and paintbrushes,
yeah.
and just this whole business of selling, you know.
Selling stuff.
Yeah, selling
like
products. And not only that.
Money. And,
right, and not only that, I think like they had like classes, right?
Yeah.
That you could take. And
Bob was so popular that these classes were, you know, being filled up.
Like they said, like after his show came out, like the jump in people's interest in painting and taking classes, like mm-hmm. you know, skyrocketed,
yeah.
right? And there was a business opportunity, of course. And
yeah.
Annette, I think, saw that and really capitalized on it, but. I really think she just saw Bob as like this cash cow.
Yeah.
Like she didn't really care about him because eventually he, you know, or got cancer.
Got cancer, yeah.
And one of his good friends speculated that he caught cancer because of, if you guys ever watched the show and noticed when he would hit, whack his brush against the
that's
easel.
That's not water.
Yeah,
that's paint thinner.
It's paint thinner. And so his friend speculated that after years of him doing that and
he
just
got lymphoma.
Yeah.
Cancer.
Yeah. That, you know, and he would pretty much inhale paint thinner.
Yeah. So at like the end of his life, I think his throat just didn't have, it just closed up and he just couldn't eat and, you know.
They said that he would record a minimum of at least 3 episodes a day.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagine like that every day painting.
Yeah.
You know, inhaling paint thinner.
Yeah.
So he got cancer and
I think on his deathbed,
mm-hmm.
Annette tried to get him to sign over all of his rights.
Yeah, his name.
She tried to get him to sign his name over. For me, it's like close to Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as bad because Elvis Presley, like, I think he wasn't as business savvy, but I think Bob Ross actually knew what was going on and he tried so hard to, it seemed like, well, in the documentary it seemed like Bob Ross tried really hard to put things in place so that his name wouldn't be monopolized by the Kowalskis.
Yeah.
But they strong-armed because apparently Walt Kowalski used to be a CIA or part of the CIA.
Right, yeah. It was like mentioned that he's like a CIA agent.
Or he worked for the government. But
or
they said
like that.
Specifically CIA.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And not only that, though, like Bob Ross's career, it didn't start out as a painter. He was also in the military.
Yeah.
You know? So it's interesting that, because I read that he, when he was in the military, he was one of those commanders or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
that
he was higher up.
Right, he was pretty high, and it was said that he was one of those that would yell and tell, you know, people what to do.
Yeah.
You know, like clean the latrines and stuff like that. And once he
the sergeant,
yeah, or sergeant, or you know, I'm definitely not in the military, so I don't know that.
I can only reference it from movies.
Right.
That's all I'm referencing my military knowledge from. Sorry.
And so when he really got into painting, he really liked the world of painting, and he really wanted to get away from that and from the military.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, his way of. Of being with painting was so, it just sounds so different from what he was in the military.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, we were talking about Walt being in the CIA, which I don't know like what the significance of that could be with this whole thing. You know, obviously he has like all these connections probably.
Yeah.
And you even mentioned that you think you were like maybe they kind of gave him cancer, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, like I was just that was a joke, bad joke, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I think like the documentary when it came out, like I think for me, I was just so like heartbroken almost. Like you were happy that like he was a good person,
mm-hmm.
and like I mean obviously like. He's
dude,
made mistakes and stuff.
Right.
But then I think with how the climate is today, like, promiscuity is fine. You know?
But, dude, it was so crazy. Yeah. Like, you were saying earlier how he was trying to set it up for his son, right? His son, Steve.
Yeah.
And if you remember on the show, Steve would appear on Bob's show painting. Like, he was
son.
A painter.
Yeah.
He was a painter himself. They show clips of, in the documentary, of Bob, like, saying... You know, when he was painting mountains, he's like, you know, like, I'm nothing at painting mountains. My son, like, can paint mountains
better than me.
Way better than me, you know? And he was totally, totally trying to... Because he knew that for him, that it was going to end for him eventually. And he wanted to pass it on to his son. And just to hear his son talk about how, like, you know, he didn't exactly want to do what his dad did, which is such the typical... you know, like teenager kid story of like rebelling against, you know, what your parents want for you, right? And you could see when Steve talked about his father and talked about, you know, what happened, that I think Steve had like major regrets.
Yeah.
Like major regrets of not listening to his father, because you mentioned that on his deathbed, Annette tried to get him to sign this contract, signing over basically all his rights to them of his name, Bob Ross Inc. or whatever. He refused. Like he was like, no. Right?
I'm not signing away.
He's not signing
name, my family name.
Right. And then later on, you know, after Bob's passing, I think Steve,
like, you know what's crazy to me is that in the documentary, Steve didn't find out he had ownership of his the Bob Ross Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because
he didn't find out until he was already trying to build a different business.
Right. So what's crazy, right? Yeah. It was after his dad's passing. I don't know how long after.
Yeah.
But he was trying to build his own kind of business with his own name, Steve Ross. Right.
His name is Ross. It's his last name.
Right.
Like,
and
yeah.
And Annette and Walt, I guess, decided that that they owned the Ross name.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't allow.
It's because in the contract was and like the likeness. So it's Bob Ross and his likeness, and I was just like. Yeah. So does that mean
so Steve, it applies to like
Steve Ross too?
Right. So Steve sued, tried to sue Annette.
So
right?
the
and there's recordings of that, and then in that recording, it was revealed that Steve had, like you said, had ownership of part of Bob Ross. Like it was left to him supposedly. Yeah. Him and his uncle.
Yeah.
Right.
But then his uncle had 51 shares, where Steve had 49 shares of Bob Ross's. So I guess Bob Ross was... I'm not really sure how the contract worked, but it's like on a voting basis. And it's just a lot. But then like the reason why Steve Ross sued first was because his lawyers, they said that would be cheaper if you went out and sued them first versus them suing you.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why they went that route is because the Kowalskis had a record of suing everybody, especially about Bob Ross and Bob Ross's name.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they were trying to strategize because they knew that they were going to get sued. So it's kind of like, I'll sue them before they sue me.
Yeah.
So that it would be cheaper.
Yeah.
Because they knew that it was going to come. And so they just wanted to do it. And I just, I don't know how I would feel about that, to try to go against a corporation that is using your last name and your father who is dead. Like, you know, like he's died and they're just profiting so much off of like your father who's died. And part of you, and then come to find out, because the interesting thing is like Steve didn't realize he had any ownership of the company until
and you could see it.
He was so in shock when he found out, and then the fact that he didn't even like know, and then to find out, and then now you're fighting for what was
yours. Not only that, you found out that you had,
and then it was sold,
but your uncle's like sold it away to them, or signed it away to them,
without even telling you, like,
which was kind of confusing to me when I heard about that. I was like, well, if Steve had ownership of 49% or whatever or anything, why wasn't he notified? Why wasn't he told that he had that when his father died?
Because I thought lot of questions about that. Yeah,
because I thought that's what happens when a dying person or a dead person's wishes and the will that there's the lawyer is supposed to let the person that receives any of that know what's going on. But beyond that, it's just crazy to think about, like, put yourself in his shoes, Steve's shoes, to find that out. And then to find out that you had it, but your uncle sold it.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Because if you think about will, like, you don't receive anything until the person dies. But think about this. Like, Bob Ross dies, and then Steve didn't even get a chance to even, like, be a part of it. And it was already signed away by his uncle. Probably by force. Probably by, like, bribery or something.
Something.
And it doesn't look like he has any relationship with this uncle, you know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't in the interview, so I don't know.
Yeah. What was another crazy thing about this documentary was that the documentary mentioned that there is close to, what, 20 to 30
people
that worked...
That agreed.
Agreed to be on a documentary.
And then they found out what it's about, and they all pretty much retracted their part, or they didn't show up because they were afraid of getting sued.
Yeah. So that's just a sign right there of who the Kowalskis are, that everyone is like, ugh, they don't even want to be bothered.
Or
their fear,
Bob Ross Inc.
Or fear of being sued by these people.
Yeah.
Bro, it's crazy, right? And and also that, you know, at the end of the documentary, it was revealed that the people that made the documentary reached out to Annette and Walt and wanted to have them, you know, interview.
Be a part of the
interviews. Be part of it.
But then they refused twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Netflix dropped.
And
I didn't realize that we watched it, like, the week of. And if you go on Twitter, it's freaking crazy because Bob Ross Official, which is their Twitter handle, like, they were, what was one of those, like, they take offense to, like, the slander or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just so many people are just, like, there's, like, a hashtag boycott BRI or boycott Bob Ross Incorporated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are really upset because... Especially, like, people who grew up watching PBS, you know, and just knowing who Bob Ross was and
mm-hmm.
and the impact that he had made, you know. And so, I don't know. For me, like, I was very, like, I was quite upset. Like,
no, yeah,
it bothered me.
It bothered you.
It's as an
bothered
artist.
You since you've watched
yeah.
the documentary, which was last night.
It's, you know, it's bothered me as an artist to... Because, like, as artists, you know, like, you hear about starving artists and you hear about, like, the tragedies of artists, you know, like Van Gogh. But then at least Van Gogh, his brother, was able to recollect his paintings, where Bob Ross, like, all of his paintings were confiscated and was, like, an intellectual property of Bob Ross Incorporated. Which they took all the paintings from Bob Ross's estate, you know, like, meaning taking it away from his son, his family, and everything. And oh, it's just so much.
Yeah, it just sounds so shady,
yeah.
You know, and sad. Because I told you that I almost, you know, wish that this documentary... A part of me wished that this documentary didn't even come out and kind of just left Bob Ross as...
The person we knew.
As the person we knew. And then not to say that he did anything bad. I don't think...
Yeah.
I don't think... maybe it's too soon, but, you know, with the documentary, it wasn't like he did anything bad. He just got involved with some... shady
crazy,
people
crazy woman
some crazy woman and but you know, like, I had this feeling of like, man, I kind of wish this documentary never came out and we just had this happy memory and image of Bob Ross, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of learning the truth and the dirty,
you know,
the
like,
dark
I,
side
you know what
of,
it is
of it
like,
all
I feel like I still have a good, like, image of Bob Ross.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm sad that he had died from cancer. And I think right now it's like, it is just a travesty that his son has to fight for his own last name. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like to me, it seemed like the documentary, like what I understood from watching it is that Steve Ross can't use his last name Ross because it's an intellectual property of a corporation. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm just like, this has happened before. And why is it still happening in the 21st century, right? Like, why is this still happening?
It's happening because there's greedy people out there that all they care about is the almighty dollar. And if that means, you know, taking the name for themselves, where, you know, like, mm-hmm. you would think, like, blood, right? They're, you know, Bob Ross's son, blood, should technically be the rightful...
You know, that's not even it. Like, I think, like, the wishes of Bob Ross was that part of his legacy should go to his son, and that's what he wanted, and that's what it seemed like he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, like, I don't think Bob Ross was like wanting his son he wasn't trying to push out the Kowalskis. He just didn't want them to completely monopolize on his name and then profit millions of dollars and then not give any of it, or not, like, the idea that his family doesn't have any part of that money. It's just mind-boggling to me.
And not only that, like, I don't think, you know, Bob Ross would want to see mm-hmm. all these, like, novelty products being sold mm-hmm. with his face on it. Yeah. You know, like...
Because he didn't want that, like, you know, because he wanted to teach people how to paint, and mm-hmm. he didn't want to sell people things.
Yeah, because like, he had...
Like, one of the main things about the movie was that Bob Ross really did not care about the money. He just wanted to teach. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to teach painting. And
one of his, like, major messages was that you're not born with talent, right? It's something that you can definitely learn.
Yeah.
And I remember this one part of the documentary mentioning this man that was colorblind.
Oh, yes.
Colorblind, and told Bob Ross, you know, like, I'm colorblind. Like, I don't think I would ever be able to paint. And then next thing you know, Bob Ross does an episode of just painting in gray, basically.
Yeah.
And he paints this amazing scenery snowy mountains. And I think he just used gray and white paint. Like, yeah.
The heart he has, you know.
You know, and he's like, it's possible, you know. And I think that just goes back to art. Like, mm-hmm. anybody can do art.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't mean everybody can do good art.
Here's the thing about art. It's a way for you to express yourself.
Yes.
And if mm-hmm. you, and the thing is, like, for me, like, I have trouble articulating things, like my feelings, and art was one of the ways where I can articulate it in my own way, that I can, like, express it in the real world through art. And it didn't have to be good. It just had to allow... It was just a way for me to express my feelings. And mm-hmm. and I think that people need that, you know? And everyone wants to express themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what art is about. And... I mean, are you gonna be like a Picasso? I don't know, but art is a way to it's the way to express what's in your soul, you know, and some art can transcend and be great. And the thing about art, like, what I learned about in art history is that, like, with all the greats, like, the reason why they became great is because they created thousands of artworks, you know, like thousands. And maybe of those thousands, a handful actually captured the essence of like, of the soul, of the emotion that can transcend, and like a meme, you know, like everyone can understand a meme, and that's what great works of art do, you know, and that's how you recognize like people like Picasso and Michelangelo and think and what Raphael, because they made so much work, like, you know, like they had like huge amounts of work. So yeah, anybody can be an artist, you know, and art is a way to express your, for me at least, is to express your, like, your soul and your emotions, and I don't know, and I think Bob Ross kind of recognized that, because I think he saw that it was helping people, you know.
I mean, it helped him so much.
Yeah.
And it was such a, in a way, like, I think therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it is for a lot of people, that it's just this therapeutic way of expressing yourself. And I can appreciate that. I'm not the greatest artist. I don't actually consider myself an artist at all. Right. I took like a few art classes in high school and I created some silly pieces. At the time, when I created these pieces, it was more of like goofing around and having a good time and just joking.
I'm kind of sad because we still had we had it, and the girls got to it and they broke some of it.
My art pieces, but I mean, whatever. But I remember just having a great time creating these art pieces, you know, so-called art pieces. And I remember, you know, our art teacher, Miss Maniatis, and she was so cool. Like, that's how I describe her. Like, she's so cool. And she allowed us to just, you know, of course, like, we had to, you know, complete assignments and whatnot. But she allowed us to just be.
Miss Maniatis was just one of those teachers that really, like, allowed you to do that, you know, and
I think one of the moments that I remember that made me realize how cool she was that when there was a day when she wasn't there in class, and I think we had a substitute
teacher
and me and my other classmate
Bobby. Yeah, it was Bobby. Yeah.
Bobby. And
hey, Bobby, shouting out to you.
Shout out Bobby, bro. We were just goofing around, and me and him kind of created this fort clubhouse.
Keep in mind, they were in high school, okay?
Don't cancel me. I mean, I don't have anything to cancel, but we created this paper cardboard abstract building.
We called it a fort,
and I believe we put a sign that said "No fat chicks" on it. and of course the next day or so, you know, Miss Manos came back and
she found
the piece, because we were dumb and we left it there, and she decided to do this critique of it.
Well, okay, so Miss Manos that year was voted teacher of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this whole camera crew that was in the classroom. So I wish it was like social media back then, so we can just like keep the recording of it. But yeah, like, so for her, I guess, submission, she was like top five. So they interviewed her. It wasn't an interview. It was just her interacting with the students. So we were all gathered around
this little
like cardboard like fort.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it's what you imagine. And Miss Mignon just had the whole class just critique your art, because it was an expression that you guys had. You know, you were, it was about rebellion. Like, they didn't, they knew that Miss Vianis wasn't there. They didn't want to listen to the substitute teacher. Because the whole time the substitute teacher were like, what are you guys doing? We're working on our assignment. And that was a total lie. And it was hilarious.
And then it came time for the, you know, the critique. And yeah. I remember kind of just...
You were so embarrassed.
I was so embarrassed, and I don't think I said anything.
I let
Bobby do all the talking, and I think he was pretty upset about that. But in the end, it was fine. It was okay.
So fun, yeah.
And like I said, I was like, oh crap, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and it couldn't have been worse. Like the camera crew there, bro. Yeah,
there was.
But in the end,
it was so perfect because like if you ever saw the video clip. Everybody was laughing so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, just so... It was
everybody
just so funny.
Everybody except maybe me and Bobby. We were kind of like...
Because you guys were in the hot seat.
We were in the hot seat. But
then Bobby did so great. He was so confident. And then you're just like, I'm the innocent one. But you were... You're not...
I think I was the one that put the no fat chick sign on. But definitely... Yeah. That's definitely something that I think you cannot do today. Right, you definitely like offend somebody. Anyway, that's like a totally different topic. But like that was definitely like after that, like we didn't get in trouble, you know. And I thought, wow, Miss Manos is cool.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways, like the reason you know I brought that up was because you know Miss Manos to me was kind of like you know my Bob Ross. In a way,
like
you know,
in real life, someone we knew,
and just someone that enjoyed
like
and loved loved art, and I think she truly loved teaching art.
I feel like she really loved her students.
Yeah. And
because there's, I would say there's only a couple teachers out there, and I don't know if it's like maybe the chemistry between student and teacher, but like I only have like maybe. Like a handful of teachers that I would say like that really really pushed me to become like this person that I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think Miss Vianis is like one of the teachers that I've had that like she was the one who saw like the passion I had for metalsmith in high school, and she fed that, you know, because my parents like thought that it was, you know, just a silly thing.
It's just a phase.
Yeah. And they just never supported it. And I was really good. And I still consider myself an artist and a metalsmith because I aspire to be it. And I want to get back into it. But it's just on hold right now. It's, you know, it's in the back burner. But, like, I was good. And, you know... in high school, in college, and I won a lot of like enough competitions where I'm like, there is something more here, and so that's why I still pursue it. And Miss Mariottis was one of those people in my life that really understood that, you know, and she like nurtured that, and there's not a lot of people like that, you know, like mm-hmm. not a lot of teachers that can do that, I feel like.
Yeah. And I, you know.
I mean, it's sad, but like I said, maybe it's the chemistry between student and teacher, because like maybe even though another teacher couldn't do that for me, you know, like maybe they did it for another student, you mm-hmm. know, like,
yeah,
I think all teachers have an impact, but it depends on the student and what their interests are,
right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that Bob Ross definitely was.
A teacher.
I think that's all, you know, he mainly really wanted to be, right, was to teach and inspire.
He wanted people to know that they can do it,
mm-hmm.
and to create. I think one of the things that I always loved about Bob Ross was like, you know, you can create your own world,
mm-hmm.
you know, if your world is, like, it, to me, it was like, if your world is crappy right now, like, make a new one. And you can on the canvas, you know, and if you can dream it, you can build it,
mm-hmm.
and you can make it. And I think that's a beautiful thing to know and to
mm-hmm.
believe him.
And he's like, if you know, if you mess up, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's happy totally accidents. Happy accidents. You can totally fix it. Like, it's it's like, it's crazy because I just remember watching, you know, and he would throw, like, let's just say, like, he's painting this wooded scenery. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to add a wooden cabin. Okay. And
where?
Where? You just, you know, you just painted, like trees everywhere. And he'll just, you know, mix some paint on his little, what's it called?
Palette.
Yeah. Mix some dark black paint.
Yeah.
Maybe not black, maybe brown. I don't know.
I feel like he always scrapes things away. I'm like, why would you do that?
Right, and then he'll just throw that dark paint on wherever he was painting. And I was like, he just ruined that painting.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, and he's like going to turn that black thing,
blob,
into a cabin. And next thing you know, a few strokes here, a few scrapes here, and boom, it's a cabin.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he's just like, yeah.
Did he just
draw this triangle, draw this rectangle, square, and then add these white lines, and all of a sudden, it's just like, boom.
And it looks like a cabin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did he just use magic? Because I wouldn't have been able to do that. But, yeah. You know, watching that now, like, maybe I could have, you know.
Yeah.
I never tried. But, you know, there's tons of people that have, and they create, like, all these pieces that looked exactly like what Bob Ross would have done, you know? Mm. And I don't know. Bob Ross is just this, I think, like a cultural.
He's an iconic figure.
Right?
The 80s, like 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
When did he die? Like 1991 or something?
I don't know when he died, but I know he died like at the age of 52.
Yeah.
And it's sad because in the documentary it's they made it seem like Annette Kowalski and the corporation didn't want people to know that he was sick, and they didn't want people to know that he died, because they didn't really, they said that the funeral like had maybe 40 people there. And you know that Bob Ross, if it was widely known,
I think there would have been bigger memorial for
so many people. And I it's funny because we mentioned earlier in the beginning of the episode, there's a spoiler alert, that you know Bob Ross is no longer with us, and we mentioned that because we truly do feel like there probably are a lot of people out there that don't even know that he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That he's passed.
With all the merchandise that are out there.
Yeah, and
because I remember you got the Bob Ross
air freshener,
and I was like, "Is he still alive?" Mm-hmm. And I have to. I remember like literally Googling if he passed away, because like I don't remember hearing that he died.
Yeah, like I don't think it
was. But then I was like, he must be really old, is what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then the documentary comes out, and I'm like, oh, they just never even.
Yeah.
And they just never even ever. Like, they never even covered it in any way.
Right, because when I thought about it, I was like, you know, when you think about, like, celebrity deaths, like Robin Williams or Kobe Bryant or.
Even when Mr. Roger passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, I mean, I
or even work. Or even Alex Trebek, yeah. You know, like these people that were on TV and stuff, yeah. That it was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
But when Bob Ross died, which I would imagine that if people knew.
Yeah.
It would have been big news.
Yeah. But then it wasn't. It was all.
And I just like, it's just crazy to think of that weird cover up from the company, because they want to preserve this image of him. Like, it's weird, you know, because in documentary they were saying that, you know, Bob Ross continued to paint and continued to do his show when he had cancer, right? Maybe not at the very end of it, but a good portion of his illness. And he had a wig, and he was like, you know, looking skinny, and they kind of like, you know, said to him, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't do it anymore because you're looking sick. Like, it was something like that, you know, but he didn't want to stop.
Well, no, I remember. Like, they gave him a wig and tried to make him look healthier.
Mm-hmm.
But they were trying to phase him out, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's just sad. Like, there was that one part in the documentary where one of his good friends said that he didn't even know that Bob Ross
had cancer,
had a funeral.
Oh, yeah.
And he couldn't he would have attended, but he didn't know.
He wished that they had told him, so because he would have flown out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they didn't tell.
Yeah, like, that. How ridiculous is that? Like, someone is gravely ill, they're dying, and then they die, and this whole time you're just like,
how do we not let the public know?
Yeah, like, you're just thinking about business, bro. And
they put it in the obituary in a newspaper, but in the 90s, there's TV, you know.
But if you saw the obituary, like the short little clip that they showed of the obituary, like, it was like a tiny post. And it wasn't even a picture of him or anything. Yeah. And it's like, are you freaking serious, dude? Like, yeah. And for me, I understand that this documentary could be completely one-sided, and like, you don't know the complete story and you don't know everything, you know? Yeah. I mean, I am like a complete, yeah. We are complete outsiders. Yeah. We don't know the complete story.
But this is what we see. I mean, it's like tale as old as time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a corporation.
Shout out to Beauty and the Beast.
It's a corporation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has all the rights to the name,
mm-hmm.
right? Look, there are corporations out there that are wonderful, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there are some that keep the name and does not give it to the family. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's just wrong. And everyone, it's just wrong in so many ways. And you know what I mean? Like, because do you remember the documentary about Tetris?
Yes.
And the creator of Tetris was Russian, right? And the CEO has been trying his darndest to give credit to this Russian scientist who came up with the game Tetris. Like, he's like trying so hard, but the Russian company, the Russian government did not allow it. It was just against like their government for some reason.
Yeah.
And so you have CEOs like that where they want to give credit where it's due. But here, it's like, no, they want it all, you know? What, because you discovered him? You feel like you own him?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think it works like that. Like, to me, it's just like, it's so wrong on so many levels. And I think a lot of people take offense to that. Because, like, if you think about, like, I'm gonna bring up Elvis Presley, you know? Like, all the royalties went to all his managers. You know, and it's through all these contracts, you know, and I mean, it's in that era too, right? Like,
mm-hmm. I mean, I'm waiting, and I think a lot of people are waiting to see, because it's known that Annette and Walt or the Kowalskis or BRI or whatever, like, they're known for suing people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a waiting game now to see, oh, they're going to sue the people that made the documentary, or they're going to sue Netflix. So like,
are they going to sue the Twitter users?
Sue the Twitter, like, what are they going to do, you know? Yeah. Because I think that the documentary is fairly new right now because it just released like a few days ago.
Yeah.
But I think that the more and more people are
find out about it and watch it. So, you know,
like, that it's gonna spread, and it's gonna, because I find it hard to believe that not a lot of people know of Bob Ross. I think a lot of people do know who he is. You know, I mean, he was such a memorable person. You know, like,
yeah,
this guy, you know, that had this amazing hairstyle,
yeah,
and this way of speaking,
just so calm,
while he's painting. Like, there's no way that there's not, I mean, I'm sure there's people that don't know who he is, but I think the majority of America, or at least people older people know who, like, he is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't expect my kids to know who he is,
yeah,
but, you know, at least people our age,
yeah,
you know, which we're like in our 30s, that, you know, yeah, this is going to spread, and it's going to be interesting to see, because you've already gone on Twitter and you've already read and seen posts and hashtags, you know, boycott BRI and all this stuff, and, you know, yeah, free Bob Ross, hashtag free Bob Ross, you know what I mean? And it's just,
oh, but, you know, like, one of the craziest things is that, like, BRI actually responded, and this is what they said. You want to read it? This is Bob Ross official, which is the Bob Ross BRI's Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they said.
So Bob Ross Inc. takes strong issue with the inaccurate and heavily slanted portrayal of our company in a Netflix film. If not for the efforts of the remaining founders and their dedication to this mission, Bob's artistic and cultural relevance would have been lost decades ago with his passing.
That's what they responded with. And the comments are brutal.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine, yeah.
I mean, like,
It's like you're...
The arrogance of...
the arrogance, the audacity, like, you're taking credit, like, complete credit for this man's, you know, work and legacy, you know? And... Wow. And you
it's
know,
just so frustrating, you know.
Like, and then you showed me, like, you know, the Bob Ross YouTube channel, and they have, like, all these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait a minute, like,
yeah, they're still profiting off of,
right? Of, yeah, because these episodes, like, they have like 4.something million subscribers to the YouTube channel. And each episode, I think, get, like, I saw some that had millions of views. And it's just crazy, and it's like, he's not still alive.
Yeah.
He's not alive, and
you're still profiting off of it, you know.
And you're like, it's so, like, they're just so wanting to protect their money, bro. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's sad to see Steve, his son, like, just so defeated. Like, he looks so defeated, and
I think he said he was in like a 10-year-long depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was really thinking about that. I was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how, you know what I mean? Like, that's just something. That's a lot. And then on top of all that, having to go through all these legal battles,
mm-hmm,
just to try to, like, keep your name.
Yeah.
Or to utilize your last name, which is, you know,
so,
something your father gave you.
Yeah.
You know.
So the year is 2021.
Yeah.
And Bob Ross died in 1995.
Wow. 1995.
Right. And honestly, that makes more sense now.
Yeah.
Okay. So he died in 1995. I would have been 10.
Yeah.
So I don't think that
I didn't know he died.
Right.
In 1995? Oh, it's BBS.
Yeah.
It's Bob Ross.
Yeah, well you know? My point now is that he, we would have been like 10, 11,
yeah,
when he died. So, of course, we're not going to...
We should ask your brother if he knew that Bob Ross died when,
right,
he died.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because now I'm thinking about it, like, we wouldn't have paid attention,
yeah,
at that age of his death.
Yeah.
You know? Now that I think about it, because, you know, I mentioned, like, Robin Williams and all that, which they died, you know, more recently.
Yeah.
So, of course, we paid attention. So, but it is crazy that we remember watching the show, and it was definitely after 1995 that we were watching the show.
Yeah.
And he just looked it looked like he was alive.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, like, he's been dead for a long time.
Yeah.
And this documentary just came out.
26 years.
2021.
26 years.
And
wow.
They're still, like, for all this time, this company has been making money.
Yeah.
You know?
And his son got zero.
Yeah.
$0.
Crazy, bro.
I don't know. I would be rolling in my grave if my artwork was being, like, mass-produced, right? And then my children got $0. Like, I would be, like, mm-hmm. I would be coming back, like, haunting people with that, you know?
And, yeah.
But I don't... But there's just so much there. It is one documentary, and there's a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more questions.
Yeah.
But so far, it's... For me, like, most CEOs and most companies will let you know their net worth, right? Mm-hmm. But I think you can't even find that about
BRI.
Like, you can't find anything,
mm-hmm.
their net worth or anything.
It's like they just, like, scrub themselves from the internet.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it like I said earlier, like, this documentary is fairly new. So it's going to be interesting to see... Mm-hmm. Over the next, you know, few weeks or so,
where this goes,
you know,
maybe even a year,
or even a year, like maybe nothing will happen, yeah. Which will be sad, but
yeah. But Melissa McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
she was a producer,
oh, right,
and they were saying that when they set out to make this documentary, because they're big fans.
Yeah.
Of Bob Ross, and they wanted to kind of make a tribute to him,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, but then the more they went on interviews, the more they realized that there's a lot of legal, like, hurdles that they were facing, and so they were like, okay, don't quote me on this, but I'm paraphrasing, but, like, basically they were saying that they didn't go out trying to make a hit piece. They were really big fans, and they just wanted to make, like, I think a tribute documentary, and it turned into this whole hit piece thing, which
mm-hmm.
I think they left it up to us to kind of decide, you mm-hmm. know? And there are recordings and legal documents that they showed at the end where they tried to reach out to BRI
mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to be a part of it because I found another article or another response from BRI where they were basically saying, like, yeah, if you had let me know that it was going to be on Netflix and if you were more transparent about your documentary, that we would have been happy to give you our perspective and our side of the story,
mm-hmm.
but then it's like, no, like, you didn't think that this would go anywhere, and once it dropped, you know, like, people are outraged in 5 days from this Netflix series, and it triggered a lot of people because, you know what, people love Bob Ross, you know, and they watched it, and I think, like, maybe they were banking on that maybe this producer wasn't gonna, like, pull that many people to watch the documentary, but
mm-hmm.
people were interested.
Which is very ironic for me to think that they thought like that because
mm-hmm.
they're so much on banking and selling on Bob Ross's popularity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're profiting off of his image and his popularity and
somebody wants to do a documentary on him,
and then for them to think that this documentary wasn't gonna go anywhere. If that's what they really thought, that's ridiculous. That's ironic, right?
Yeah.
Because their whole thing is, like, trying to exploit and profit off of this man, and they're like, ah, nah, this documentary, like, we're not gonna have to worry about this.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like.
Oh, you should have told us.
They realized.
Like, they had two chances. mm-hmm. you know, to resolve these issues. And yeah. they didn't want to.
Yeah.
But then now that people are our age, mm-hmm. is when they're like, oh, you should have let us know what kind of documentary, and that you had that, and then they also said that you had it, that it was gonna be on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't tell us that you were a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, no. Like, if you were a good person from the beginning, you would have told your side. You should have, like, took care of it right from the beginning, you know? But I don't know. I guess we have to see.
Yeah.
I think Netflix has way more money than Bob Ross Inc. You know, like BRI.
Mm-hmm. So,
I guess we can kind of wait and see on those things. And
yeah. So, I mean, that's it. I mean, if you guys haven't checked out the documentary and you're a Bob Ross fan,
yeah,
check it out.
There's a reason why hashtag Bob Ross should be trending, and hashtag boycott BRI is, like, I feel like it's gonna take off in the next couple of days to me, and I hope that it does, and just bring light to the situation.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah. So yeah. Check it out if you can, if you want to, if you have any interest in it. But I think that's going to be it for this episode of The Spoiler Regiment. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you sticking with us this long. And if you can do us a favor and subscribe and follow us and turn on your notifications so that you will get a heads up on our next podcast, which will be Kingdom Ashina of the North. Other than that, have a great day and see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.